Hello, everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another super special, exciting edition of the Music Video Land podcast, brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com, the Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam. I type things into the Internet Music Video Database, and as always, because let's face it, there's nothing better to do, Mr. Doug Klinger, how are you doing, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. You're right. I have nothing better to do.
Well, I'm glad. Glad you're here, Doug. And also with us, back from his travels, drug tourism at Oshaga, is Mr. Adam Alexander, Fringe Music Fix. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. I did not get trampled to death.
That's good. That's good. Yes. But did you trample anyone to death?
No. It was all good. It was safe times at a music festival. How it should be. Drug free.
You should try that. You should try trampling sometime. And then we have an awesome guest on the podcast, a director that you should definitely be familiar with if you listen to this podcast. We talk about his videos a lot, Mr. Ryan Stack of Pomp and Clout. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good to be here.
Pretty good, because we asked you on for a number of reasons. One, we've had you on the blog a lot for video chats, but not on the podcast yet. And this is extra timely because you have a new video out. You have the video for Left Hand Free by Al-J out. It just came out today, Thursday, August 7th. So, you know, Al-J is in their... I guess they're previewing their album, right? The album's not out yet.
Yeah, they have... I think it's like two tracks they have out right now. It's Tundra of the Pines and Left Hand Free at the moment. And I think the whole album's out like at the end of the month or something.
Yeah.
So did they approach you, you know, and kind of let you know how they were doing this? Because it's kind of, I mean, we see this more and more, but it's kind of a unique thing to start releasing these videos before the album's even out.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know too much about the release cycle, to be honest. I just, I knew they had a new album coming out, and I honestly didn't even know that they, you know, were only kind of trickling out tracks until I'd actually pitched on it and everything.
And was there a, did you get a brief, was there a specific brief, was there something they were looking for out of this particular project?
Yeah, kind of the core of what they were going for. I mean, I knew just based on like hearing some interviews and stuff that there was like this definite, you know, kind of appeasing the American label vibe to even the creation of the track, just this idea of like the label wanted something very, I guess commercially accessible was a lot of like how I've heard it described in a lot of interviews with, you know, the guys in the band. And they were, you know, kind of interested, I guess the kind of core concept of the track for them was just this idea of like pure joy and just really, you know, exploring, you know, just a fun feeling. And that was kind of it. So I'd always kind of like been interested in, you know, like growing up in the Midwest, just these kind of rambling summer days of just, you know, shenanigans and enjoyment and just kind of doing things for the fun of it. And, wrote this treatment based around that, and apparently it just, you know, hit a chord with them, and they just liked the idea of how kind of, I guess, kind of how straightforward and how fun and free it was, and it wasn't about, you know, I mean, anything too conceptual or anything too heavy beyond that, so.
So, for those who haven't seen the video, it's, you know, along the lines of what you said, there's these scenes of sort of, you know, what I would think of as, like, the Midwest, you know, teenagers having, you know, these kind of vignettes. They're in a lake or a river. Well, actually, you should describe it because you directed the video. Tell us a little bit about the concept of this video, because it's I don't know. I love this video. It feels like a very, like, classic American kind of summer vibe to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was definitely the goal initially. I mean, All right, so basically we started out with the river, the tubing was kind of the initial concept of the video. The whole pitch was, you know, okay, it's kids on a river, they're tubing, and kind of from there we explored the idea of like, okay, that's, you know, obviously one kind of quintessential Midwest summer pastime. You know, what can we do beyond that? What are some other ones that we can pull in to kind of just paint this really more full, I guess more rich picture of you know, summer in America in a log line. And a lot of it from there was just like, okay, you know, we landed with a list of, you know, kind of go-to scenes that we wanted to try to incorporate. And then, you know, during production, the reality was really just kind of finding connections and finding people while we were there in this this small area of Texas called New Braunfels, which is near Austin, actually. But just really kind of like trying to tick off, you know, elements from our loose outline or kind of shot list, I guess you could call it. But also just really, really being open to, you know, serendipity and weird things that would happen along the way, and just kind of take those tangents and see where they led.
So going into it, you mentioned a shot list. Was it like a specific shot list where you had like specific looks in mind, or was it more like a scenario list where you were like, all right, we're going to get the kids on the lake, and then we'll kind of just let the camera kind of flow through all of the natural action?
I mean, there were definitely, like, it was a bit of both. There were very high-level breakdowns of just, like, outline, like, okay, you know, guy lighting barbecue, kid on bike, you know, room and candles, fireworks. But then there were some that were really specific, like, you know, in the tubing sequence, you know, the idea of, you know, people playing chicken or something like that. So very specific kind of shots or scenes within that setup, or that vignette, I guess I should call them. You know, but a lot of those, you know, basically we landed with the shot list, and a lot of them just kind of deviated on the spot, and it's just like, okay, this is turning into much more docu-style stuff. And, you know, some of the shot list kind of stuck around, but some of it was, you know, very, very flying by the seat of your pants, and very much, you know, really embracing what came and realizing that a lot of the power of the shot list was gone when on location.
And there's a great, you know, transition in the video where it turns from day to night, and they're at this, I couldn't quite place it. Was it a kind of like a car show, or tell us about that location that you guys found?
Yeah, so it's actually it's a spot in Austin. It's I believe it's called Top Notch Burgers, or just Top Notch, but it's actually the diner joint that's used in Dazed and Confused as well.
Oh, nice.
Which was kind of a cool little connection. But yeah, it's like a burger joint, like a drive-in spot that you'd go to. You know, back in the day, you'd probably pull up your car, and I would imagine the waitress kind of comes out on roller skates and takes your order, and you know, maybe you have that little microphone speaker thing that you hang on the door and all that. But now it's turned into, like, you know, pretty much just like a bit of a throwback to that time. But they also do kind of like, you know, car show events there, where people with like classic cars and hot rods and everything will pull up, and they all park them, and they all kind of, you know, people wander around, talk about cars and talk shop and all that. But it was just this like beautifully art directed, like, just scene in itself that just, you know, we lucked across and just made as much use of it as possible.
Yeah, it's an interesting hybrid, because I mean, you mentioned it's like an older style. I mean, it's like a location you might see in like movies about teenagers in like the 50s or 60s, but they're all, you know, these modern kids, you know,
yeah,
kind of visiting that area. It's an interesting dynamic there.
Yeah, part of that, I mean, I didn't want that scene to read too like American Graffiti or something like that, and too like, all right, we're trying to do a period piece now. So there were some shots where it just felt like really gratuitous, like, you know, we're trying to do a 50s video or something like that. So I tried to hold some of those and kind of keep what felt like, you know, at least slightly contemporary, like these, like you said, modern kids in like a throwback environment.
And I did notice that for a short period of time, you had a director's cut up on your Vimeo account that isn't there anymore. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about just kind of what was behind having two different cuts of the video.
Sure. Yeah, so, you know, basically, you know, on a video this large with, you know, a pretty, you know, established band, obviously, and a larger label, there were a lot of different takes on what the video should be. Obviously, there's a ton of footage or something like that. You know, we shot, I think, over the course of 5 or 6 days in Texas. And in the end, kind of the thought process behind the band and the label is that they wanted to go really heavy on the river scenes, on the tubing stuff, and kind of lightly, I guess they wanted to touch on fewer vignette scenes beyond the tubing stuff, but hold each a lot longer. So basically try to get deep into these different scenarios and kind of show a little more depth to what was going on there. Whereas I was more interested in the idea of, you know, just kind of like very lightly just tiptoeing into a much greater number of vignettes. So really trying to like take this approach of just, you know, range and breadth rather than a few with like, you know, the depth that they were going to or going for. So I guess that was kind of the reason behind the kind of two tangent or the two forking cuts in the end.
And is that something that when, you know, that request is made, is that something that you can try to kind of show your perspective of, or do you kind of just have to, because you kind of mentioned the fact that this is their American label, you know, the label seemed kind of involved with this project pretty heavily throughout, at least that's kind of just based on that fact. Is that something that you can kind of fight against, or do you kind of just have to get on board with that and then just hope that you're able to get your director's cut out there as well?
I mean, it's different every project. I think it's in my experience, the more established the label, the more established the band, the less clout I have in the debates on that stuff at the end. I mean, I still am very, very vocal about my opinion and try to get that across and try to use as, you know, convoluted of psychology tactics to bend people to my will as possible. But in the end, you know, there's always the fact that these are the guys who are effectively the client. So there's, you know, in the end, they tend to have the final say. But, you know, I find that a lot of my time in post-production on projects tends to be, well, not tons of it, but a good amount of it is spent, you know, trying to convince people of, you know, what I feel is right and what I feel is the way that the video should go. A lot of times it's much more cut and dry, and it just seems like, you know, to me there's like no other way than this way, and that always kind of, you know, at least I have that like kind of battle cry to, you know, I guess to try to take to them over and over. But something like this that's so malleable, and there's like limitless routes that we could take this edit, I think that makes the argument a bit harder. There's less of like a specific way where you can just say like it's got to be this way, whereas, you know, something like this can be many different, you know, edits that could effectively work, so that kind of complicated it.
And I've got to assume that the guy wiping out on the ATV is one of those kind of accident moments, happy accident moments.
Yeah, that was very lucky. That guy wiped out three times, though, I will say. So that was just one of the fortunate luckouts. But yeah, those are some guys we met. Well, I guess that's a good story in itself. So one of the shots that I'd written on my pseudo shot list / outline was the idea of someone blowing up a tree stump with black powder, with gunpowder, because I'd seen YouTube clips of people doing this. And I just love the idea of, like, you know, just some dude being like, I got to get rid of this stump, and like drilling this big hole into this stump and pouring all this gunpowder in and blowing it up. So we contacted this tree service out there in New Braunfels, and these guys were like, no, we don't do the stump blowing. That's like, you know, that's old stuff. You'll hurt yourself, which seems pretty possible. But
that's a likely outcome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Definitely an option there. But they were, you know, they're really cool guys. And we were talking to them on the phone, and they were like, yeah, you should come out. You know, we'll cruise around on some ATVs. You can get some footage of that. You know, we'll see what happens. And we're just like, all right, we'll check that out. So we drive there, and we get to this spot, and just like this, kind of like warehouse with a field and like this cool clubhouse that the guys are hanging out at, and they're all, you know, they're having a good time. They're drinking a couple of beers here and there, and they'll just hop on these ATVs and just cruise around and do these crazy stunts and stuff. And we were filming all that. We were just like, okay, there's obviously no tree stump stuff going on here, but we have this incredible ATV setup. And that was one of those just, you know, embracing the unknown and just going for it situations that I think really, you know, proved to be some of the better setups in the video.
So we should mention, go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was actually going to move, I didn't want to move on to the videos of the week without also talking a little bit about the Freak music video.
Sure.
Sweet. Okay. And there's a funny story. Ryan, I know we invited you to volunteer at OMG Everywhere, and I'm pretty sure that where OMG Everywhere was held is where you guys shot this video.
Oh, really? At that the nun location.
Yeah,
right?
The convent, the abandoned convent. Yeah. And we had the convent and the school that's right there on that block for the OMG camp. So it was weird to like see all of these things in person. Like
that's
the television and the locker room and all that stuff. Yeah, that was that was all there. So anyway, I want to talk to you, and we featured we also will put it in the show notes. We featured on the blog a few of your pre-visualization and some of your early animations that kind of helped with the planning of this video. And I kind of wanted to ask about that stuff. Is that like, you know, essentially how, you know, did you use that as in the process of kind of pitching the video to the guys? Is that kind of how that pitch took place?
I actually didn't use that specifically in the pitch process. The pitch was very, I mean, like incredibly straightforward PDF, just like, you know, a shot of, you know, well, honestly, the cover was like a shot of a girl with like a cum shot on her face. and then the page after is just like, you know, explaining like, no, she's just, you know, she's putting up, you know, wallpaper or something like that. So it was very much just like an image and then an image after that. And I put it together, you know, over the course of maybe an hour or something like that. And all those animatics and stuff that I created afterwards were once the project was awarded. And I was just like, you know, okay, this seems to work as an idea in my mind, but I really have to, you know, block this out and see, you know, will this framing, this simple, you know, wider framing, will it actually communicate like something less sexual than the tight framing? So that was really just kind of like a proof of concept for myself. And then also something that was really, you know, helpful in working with my DP, Adam Donald, just to explain to him, you know, this is the move we need to do. Obviously, this is a, you know, a Cinema 4D camera and software moving through space rather than a Steadicam operator. So we had to, you know, interpret some of that precision into, you know, into reality of filmmaking. But yeah, it was really a proof of concept and kind of an interim step between the project being awarded and going to the point of actually shooting.
Adam Donald, who is part of Donald Zaya, the director duo.
We should mention did the entire music video series for.
Fall Out Boy. Something Chronicles.
We're gonna fill this in with the actual name of.
When we can remember it. So one more question I had about that previz is: do you have to make the characters naked? Because that made it super weird.
No. So that was the thing. Like I was building it and I was trying to find these. I work in Cinema 4D and I was trying to find these. Models of humans, and I was like, where the hell are the clothed models? Like, I know that they're here somewhere, but I just could not for the life of me find these models that had clothing on. So I was just like, you know, of all the video ideas for them just to be completely naked, this is the one, so just kind of go with it. And then when like showing, you know, the actresses on set and stuff and in casting, I was trying to communicate to them what they're going to be doing, and every time I would talk to them about it, it would just start out with like a, you know, just like a massive nipple in the middle of the frame or something, and I'd have to be like, you know, this is you, but you're not going to have exposed breasts. You know, you're going to actually be clothed in this one, which was kind of actually a nice icebreaker. So it worked out fine on a video like that. You know, when you're talking about pretty sexual connotations, it was kind of nice to start off with like laying all the cards out on the table like that.
And then they show up to this spooky ass convent, and everything that they were comfortable about is suddenly gone again. They're like, "Wait a second! One more. I got an inside tip from the guy Mike who runs that place. Super, super cool guy. I hope his name is Mike. And he told me that you wanted to shoot the guy in the locker room was actually in the original treatment. It was a guy praying, and that he gave you some resistance with that. Because he was afraid that, you know, if the church got wind of that scene, that they would take away his rights to operate that place. At what point did he not let you do that? Was that during production, or was that leading up to it during some kind of a tech scout or something?
I'm really glad you bring that up, because that actually was, first of all, that guy's a great dude. Like, he really put up with a lot. So he was a great dude to have there, the location manager.
Yeah.
He brought it up during the scout when we were there for the location scout, and we were kind of wandering around, you know, looking at all the rooms and just going through my little animatic thing and just kind of looking at that in the context of the space and being like, okay, this is where the wallpaper room is. This is where we'll pull back. Cool, cool. All seems good. This is the you know, the church room, and it's just this like really cool, weird little church room in the basement of this convent. And I'm like kind of, you know, I think I moved, I forget who was the placeholder for the guy on the ground, but I think it was like my producer or someone kind of kneeling there in place. And he's like, what are you guys doing in this one? And I was like, oh, it's going to be a just a person on their knees. You know, the camera's pulling back and we start on the knees and it looks like, you know, they're giving a blowjob. And he was like, wait, you're what? You know, and I had to be like, yeah, that's, you know, that's the idea here. You know, all these are very sexual setups. And he was like, you know, I'm cool with that. But, you know, like you said, the convent and the highly, you know, religious nature of this location, you know, has specifically said that there's two things that they were not down to have. One was, I think one was sexual scenarios and one was homosexuality. So like both of those ones got checked off on that specific scene. You know, we have a guy on his knees. So.
Because that was going to take place in like the little chapel or whatever section that they had.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's interesting. And one more fun fact, since we're doing all these convent fun facts. Cool. The reason you couldn't help with OMG is because you were making the Alt-J video, right? That's when you guys were shooting that?
Exactly right. Yeah, good connection, man.
Fun facts all around for in this podcast.
We should mention that if anybody doesn't know what OMG is, it's a camp where the kids come and the counselors are music video directors.
Right. Yes.
And
yes,
it happened in this. We're talking about the New York one. It's happened in LA, and I think is Oakland this week.
It's in Oakland this week and in London next week. So yeah, they've been all over the place this summer. And yeah, they kicked it off with New York. And yeah, right. We tried to get Ryan involved, but yeah, he was shooting Alt-J. So.
But I would love to in the future be involved. By the way, I think it's a great thing, and I'd love to be there. So next time if there isn't a shoot, I'm there.
Cool.
Yeah, Doug sounded like he was selling you out a bit. I don't know.
No, and that's why I wanted to make sure to mention that the reason he couldn't be there was because he was shooting a music video, not because he was unwilling. I wouldn't have if he was unwilling, I wouldn't have mentioned that. Just like throwing him under the bus, like I asked you to volunteer, by the way, and you didn't. No, it was because he was shooting. Right. Yes, and now we have that. Yeah, I feel like a dick for waiting a period of time to have mentioned that. But
no, it's fine. It's, you know, it's just my I only go to convents once. That's my policy. So
it's a good convent. It's a weird place. It was super. Like, I mean, it seems like a great location in the middle of Brooklyn for, you know, obviously it's got a lot of different spaces and locations. I mean, you guys were able to make. That did you shoot the entire video in there, or is there a few of the setups that are in a different
No,
space?
No, they're all there actually. We chose it kind of because of that. We you know, when we were looking at the fact that we had to do this on one day and the number of you know, locations that were denoted in the script and everything, it just, you know, really made sense to find it, like a house or an apartment building or something that just had that level of like range in it. And the convent turned out to be perfect because it just had all that plus, you know, this kind of really weird, almost like, you know, almost, and I describe it, but the mix of furniture there and of objects and just all the art direction that again came with it was just this great, like kind of pseudo 70s look and kind of like a little sanatorium vibe to it that I think just like, gave this nice weirdness to the video, like a little more creepy in a very subtle way.
Yeah, it's full of weird shit. It basically was like abandoned with full of shit and then kept up for this purpose. Yeah. It's just like a really strange but perfect place. And it had all those locations plus a spare location because you guys didn't have the locker room written in originally, and then suddenly and that was then a replacement idea, right?
Yeah, totally. That one we lucked into. And then the little outside area, the backyard in between the convent and the school, that's kind of the trampoline area. And while we were finishing up shooting that, I remember seeing all these like kids kind of wandering out of the school. And it's just like, all right, it's time to move on.
Right, this is done now. Right.
Yeah,
right.
We're already going to hell with this one. So let's.
Right, literally. Literally, yeah, exactly. Had to change it because you didn't want priests to see or whatever. Yeah, yeah, it's hilarious. Cool. Well, sweet. Should we talk about some of this week's videos? Some of the other ones, other than Alt-J?
I think we should. We should also mention that we could spend a lot of time talking about Ryan's videos, but we will put the link to his page on the show notes, which has some amazing videos you should check out, including one of my favorites, Crossing Borders by Book of Shade, and also a video that we've mentioned many times on the podcast, Set It Off by Diplo.
Oh, yeah. That's a favorite.
Which you know, the keywords there are never-ending stripper pole. You know, I think if you're a listener of the podcast, you'll know what we're talking about. But yeah, let's get into a few of these this week's music videos, because this was an interesting week. You know, last week we had, you know, some kind of large blockbuster-style music videos for larger artists like Katy Perry's This Is How We Do. And this week was a really interesting week of really interesting sort of really high-quality videos for smaller artists like I don't even know how to say his name.
Said Sam Smith. Ed
Sam. Well, yeah, I know how to say Sam Smith, but I'm talking about Paolo Nutini. Yeah, Paolo Nutini.
Oh yeah, that video is fantastic. It's funny that I led with Sam Smith, like you didn't know how to say that.
Yeah, like Sam Smith, I can handle this. And then you know, yeah, there's a lot of like complicated pronunciations this week, like Rich Ausen.
I did that to you. I did that on purpose.
I think it's O'Coin. O'Coin.
Okay, oh, thank you.
I'm not sure about that, but he's Canadian. He's probably, it's probably a French last name. Maybe not.
Well, let's start out with the one that's currently in the top spot, which is one I had a few questions about, that and that is the, how do you pronounce that? Sam Smith.
Smythe. You got Smythe, it.
Smythe. Smythe. I'm Not the Only One, directed by Luc Monacan. And this is a music video that hold on a second. I'm trying to remember if Sam Smith has been in anything we've seen or talked about before.
You see, I think so. He's had a run of pretty good music videos.
We've talked about Money on My Mind.
Oh, Stay With Me. Okay, yeah. So Sam Smith has this song, and you know, the music video follows this couple that live in a gorgeous house, and they kind of are in the morning kind of greeting each other, and it looks like there's a little bit of love lost, and you find out that this guy is going to cheat. He's going to day drink for some reason. this is one of the many things.
Heavy day drinking.
This is one of the many things that
both
I didn't.
Are, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's getting what I would call white girl wasted on white wine.
Man.
So hold on.
It's like a beautiful video, and first thing we were talking about is white girl wasted. But you're right, that does happen.
Right.
It does happen.
But
we should probably mention the cast too. It's Diana Agron from Glee as the female, and Chris Messina from the Mindy Project, who are both phenomenal. They're hilarious actors. They're both great. So that's the two leads, and they day drink.
Because so this video starts out
real life.
Well, we don't know that.
Hold on, I need to explain this video for anybody who hasn't seen it.
It starts
out in the very, very morning. Okay, she tells him they're like getting ready, and she's already wearing earrings for some reason, and she says,
and like a wedding dress, I think,
and some sort of wedding dress, and she says, "I made you breakfast," and he's like, "I don't really want breakfast." So then he goes and apparently drives immediately to a bar. So I'm guessing that by now this is like 9:15 in the morning. Dark bar. He meets this girl. They start drinking. And you can tell that she knows about this. And she kind of goes on a bender during the day. She being
the girl from Glee.
Right, the girl from Glee.
The wife.
Exactly, yeah, the wife. So she goes and she's like drinking like a bottle of Pinot Grigio or whatever in a gas station, crying, her makeup's running down her face. So then she lights fire to his clothes. But then the end of the video is him coming back and them hugging. And I was just a little confused as to whether, like, this isn't one of those deals where, you know, it's a country music video where the girl, like, keys the guy's car and then everybody loves her. I don't really know what happened. If she, like, just, like, hid the burnt clothes?
Yeah, I don't think she did that, maybe. Maybe.
I thought maybe it's like the like he still doesn't quite know, and she's about to have the reveal at the end, but I could be wrong.
I felt like that could have been it too.
Yeah, because he's still like, so she clearly knows the deal, but he's like acting like he's getting away with this. He's still like putting up a lie, like, oh, I've got to go. Like, he's not like, oh, I've got to go meet my girl on the side. Like, he, to me, like, reads like he's trying to get out of there, to acting like he's going to somewhere he's allowed to be going. And, you know, he's still putting up the fake, and this is like her reveal that, you know, she's letting him know that she knows about this shit. And she's decided to kind of like do it in this kind of like fiery but passive aggressive way. Maybe, I don't know. That's kind
if
of
that's,
the way.
If that's passive aggressive, then
well, it's passive aggressive because she's not doing it in front of him. She's not doing it like, she's not saying like, "Oh, you're cheating on me." She's like letting him come home, still acting like a loving wife, and then suddenly like his clothes are all ashes.
And I guess kind of what it would a strange ending had they have just had him discover the burnt up lawn with some ashes there, because he still wouldn't really know what had been burned. They'd have to like extend the ending a little. Him going to his closet, finding it empty. It would have been, it's clunky, right? So maybe they ended it that way. I don't know. Maybe. Weird ending.
I do think it's worth mentioning that Sam Smith's music videos, a lot of them do deal with like
infidelity.
Yeah, heartache, infidelity, like people cheating on each other and stuff. He's got such a silky, beautiful voice and makes me so upset.
It's like
upset.
A male Adele, really.
He does, makes me so upset. And he's got these eyes that also make me sad.
I really like the setup with him they have with the just the simple red velvet curtains.
I think this was a beautiful video. Shot by Isaac Bauman. I think that this like really sharp, like really great looking video. I was like,
classy.
I was yeah, very classy. That's a great way to put it. I was confused by some of the narrative elements, but you know, still 2 million people can't be wrong.
Yeah, and these people look, they, I mean, Isaac shot them beautifully, and there is a little bit of that element of like, it's in the morning and she's like, I cook you breakfast, and she has like diamond earrings on. I mean, obviously these people are, you know, super cool people, and
they're fancy.
Yeah, and I don't understand, you know, why is this dude, you know, just deal with it. You know, don't go day drinking in the middle of the day. Don't pretend it's night. It's 9:15 a.m. outside and you're taking shots with this girl.
Deal with it.
Yeah, just you know, your wife's on Glee, she's beautiful, just, you know.
I know. That's the thing that always upsets me about these things, about music videos with infidelity, is that things seem so great outside of that. She made him breakfast. She glows in the morning. I agree. Adam Alexander, thank you so much. I could not place where I knew that man from. The Mindy Project.
Me neither.
The Mindy Project. I knew him.
He's great on that show. He's like the main, well, we don't know that yet, but it's clearly he's going to be Mindy Kaling's love interest on the show. I think it's
going to be. Well, I thought that was clear.
Well, yeah, kind of. They kissed once, but then they like tease us. And it's like,
world.
Yeah.
Somebody kisses that they love each other. That's what it means. That's what it means.
Doug the Love Doctor.
That's in my new nickname. Adam, get away from Butterscotch Boy and start calling me Love Doctor. I get to pick my nickname. Let's move on. I'd like to talk about Slipknot, the negative one. How about that, guys? You guys ready to talk about that one?
I would like to.
This is an insanely intense video. Directed by Darren Craig and Sean Carahan, or he's in Slipknot, right? Clown, they call him Clown. Somebody knows.
Well, hold on. I would like to ask first of all, out of all of us, who was a Slipknot fan in like middle school, high school?
Not me. I definitely was.
I was friends with Slipknot fans. I say that.
you ran in those circles.
in my middle school, like you had to commit to a type. You were basically like defined by the music you listened to. So like you either listened to rap or Slipknot, and I was, you know, way too partial to DMX to listen to Slipknot. But it's cool. I'm afraid of this music.
I was afraid too. I feel like I at one point in time probably built a tolerance up to this kind of thing, and it's gone now. And this upset me, but I liked it. But it was very upsetting.
Just super dark. Upsetting. It's funny to see Darren Craig, like the range of music videos, Uprising Creative, produced this video, and they kind of have like a group of directors and producers who kind of rotate on projects. I'm sure it's more than just like some arbitrary rotation, but it's interesting to see like the different styles of artists. I mean, he's got a music. He directed a music video where like Shakira's in a wedding dress, and also this crazy Slipknot video, which with also wedding dress inspired bloody outfits.
So different lighting, bro.
Yeah, slightly different lighting. Same piece, Sing How Yam. So also some range there with Sing. This is a super intense video. God, like that's really the thing that jumps out at me when I watch this.
I miss videos. Like there aren't very many really great metal videos that come out anymore right now, or that I catch anyway. And I miss this kind of video. The odd time. This one was really well done. Should we break down kind of what is in the video?
It's appropriate.
Sure. So
sacrifice elements. Is that what's going on?
Oh yeah, I think there was definitely some animal sacrificing going on at some point or pre the video happening anyway. And then we have like, is it the same girl the whole time? I wasn't too sure if that was the case, but the focus is this one female person who is she's scary and she's basically not doing a whole lot other than looking scary. At one point, there's something going on with her teeth that really upset me.
Oh, man. It's really upset me. I watched this, like, right before eating lunch one day. and I was like, oh, my God. Like, I had to watch another video. I needed to, like, go find – I went and watched, like, a Katy Perry video to just, like, get my head in a completely different place. Because it really – that's one thing I don't remember seeing too frequently in music videos these days are, like – truly unsettling moments, like moments where I'm like, I wish I was prepared for that because I was not. And that there was one moment where she's got something on her tongue that's like the same color as her tongue, and she like pushes it with her tongue through her teeth, and it just like makes it look like she's shoving her tongue through her teeth, and it really upset me. I was like, oh, you guys did it, you went there.
And they do use that shot a few times near the end. They repeat it in case you happen to miss it.
Right, or had recovered. And yeah, human. She's not doing anything in particular except she is like.
She washes herself at one
point. And she's flinging around. Not flinging around, but she's got some kind of dead Bambi or something.
Some goat. Yeah. Is that what's going on?
A goat.
Something.
It had antlers or horns of some kind. Now, one other thing that I was wondering while watching. Are the nipples censored out, or is she wearing some kind of a latex?
I
think they do both, because I initially thought it was the was that Marilyn Manson video
Dope Show?
No, the one where he's got like the full on like androgynous suit.
Yeah, that would be like the Mechanical Animals video. I'm not sure what track, but yeah.
There's some shots where her chest reads that way, where it does look like prosthetics over it. But then there's another shot I saw where it's definitely blurred, and then they actually kill the blur for a second, and the nipple pops. But I think it's a mix of the two.
But all of them seem like stylistic choices and not like did it for Vivo. I think all of those are done intentionally.
Also, the lack of the nipple is also for some reason or another quite disturbing as well.
It's jarring.
It is jarring that there should be a nipple there, and there isn't. I don't like it.
Right. Adam, your the things that you've said on this podcast make me believe that it's not just because it's jarring that you want the nipple there. But, it's what you've set up for yourself, man.
You heard it here first, folks. Adam likes boobs.
Adam likes boobs. He's got a reputation for liking boobs. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about something different. I want to talk about Capital Cities, I Sold My Bed But Not My Stereo, directed by Ellis Ball. Super fun music video, as Capital Capital City's music videos tend to be. There at least are fun elements in all of them, although some of them take a dark turn. What'd you guys think of this one?
I liked it. I actually didn't know them before. This was the first time I've heard their music or seen their stuff.
And what? They have. Is this on the same album as like Safe and Sound and Kangaroo Court?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And A Tidal Wave of Mystery is the album. Yeah, this is the fourth single actually. They just came out with a music video from this album. One minute more. Not too long ago, mid June, they also came out with a music video. So, directed by Ellis Ball. Basically, the concept of this video is the two guys from Capital Cities are at a garage sale, and slowly begin to kind of like assemble materials and basically like a makeshift music video kind of starts to happen around them, just with the stuff in sold at the garage sale and the people. They're suddenly filmed. They accidentally rip paper up and spray it around, and it makes a music video. And elements continue to get added to it until at the end they're essentially in different clothes performing a full on music video. And the two of the girls from Cocoon Dance Central show up in the back and give us some moves. To cement that even further. So that's what happens in this video.
I thought there was some nice pairing to the lyrics here and there, and not like crazy overt ways, but just like subtle links to. Let me turn it up so I can think of one actually right now. But
yeah, you're right. It's not really as literal. It's a loose kind of parallel between the two, which is kind of nice. I liked it too.
One thing I should just point out is that, and I'm almost positive this is the case, because I kind of doubt that there are two people that look like this in the world. The old man, there's an old man sitting in a chair very early in the video. I'm almost positive that's the same guy from Hiro Murai's video for Cheerleader by St. Vincent, who's in the audience at the museum exhibit that is the whole video is centered around.
It would make sense. I saw both those videos produced by Doomsday Entertainment, so you know they probably go to the same place for extras. it's probably the same dude.
The dancers you mentioned, is that the one girl from the Daniels?
Turned down for what?
Yeah,
Sunita. She is the main girl in the Turned Down for What video. And then Tally, who is the other girl from Cocoon Dance Central in this video, she is in the Daniels Cry Like a Ghost video by Passion Pit.
Gotcha.
If you remember that one where she's dancing in the forest that came out last year. Fantastic video. So yeah, those girls, and then there's a third member of Cocoon Dance Central, and she's actually the main girl in Ellis Ball's Alt J video, which is funny because you made an Alt J video, Ryan. Look at all of these connections that we're making. Yes, she is Eleanor. She is in the Breeze Blocks video, the main girl in the Breeze Blocks video. The main girl who's not the murderer, but the girl who's
the one hiding
from the murderer. They're all in this video. This video was super fun. I liked it. I liked it a lot. And clearly a Bex product placement, but it fits in. I think I think that they get it in there without making it too obvious.
You know, Bex
like
there.
Not like neon or anything.
No, they do. But to their credit, that is the type of thing that you would find at a garage sale.
No, totally, I agree. It was well done.
And it's interesting because Capital Cities, you know, Kangaroo Court was such a really super high concept video. And now they seem to be kind of like all the treatments or all the like concepts of their videos for like 1 minute more in this video center around like the sentence, the guys from Capital City are at, you know, and then everything kind of builds around that. So, like, for 1 minute more, it's like, the guys from Capital Cities are performing at a barge at a pool party, you know, like a lake party.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit more story around it. Obviously, that lake party is in people's tears.
Yeah,
I get what you mean. And then the Kangaroo Court's actually their second video, and that is They play, like, the one guy from Capital Cities is the zebra, and then the other guy is the is like the lion. So they do have like the two main roles in the video.
Well, I'm just wondering. I'm wondering if they're trying to or they're looking to kind of brand themselves as a more mainstream sort of Chromeo.
Well, they like are two dudes.
They definitely are. They're definitely mainstream. They've got some charted singles. They're right up there.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But also in what Adam's trying to say, like, and in Safe and Sound, it's that even though, and that was their they did a couple of videos for Safe and Sound. I think three, but the one that everyone kind of remembers is the one that came out as the song blew up, and that was the one. The Grady Hall directed one that's got like over 100 million views, and that's also the guys from Capital City. The guys from Capital Cities like show up to a theater and end up like dancing in a bunch of different eras. So yeah, no, they're like they are characters in a lot of their videos. Like they are often front and center. Although that doesn't ever seem to be holding back the creativity. It's not like okay, do whatever you want, but make sure I'm singing and looking cool. Like they're in there like. Doing fun, interesting, crazy stuff. I mean, for the Kangaroo Court video in particular, they, you know, to get all of that prosthetic makeup on that they had to get there hours ahead of time, you know, true commitment, not just showing up 15 minutes before their shot is up and performing and leaving. You know, they're there. And I think actually for the Kangaroo Court video, they're listed as co-directors. If I remember when I interviewed Carlos about that, it was their idea that they kind of brought to him and asked him to kind of bring to life technically. They kind of had that concept ready to go. So, yeah, they've really committed to these music videos, making them fun and creative. And I love that, you know what I mean? Like, because they are like a pop band. You know, I hear them when I, like, get in the car with my older sister. They're on the radio. So,
they do. You're right, though, Adam. There is quite a few similarities to Chromeo as well. Not just how they sound, but they even bear a slight resemblance to them. It's interesting.
They do bear.
Yeah, they do.
Tall, skinny guy, shorter, wider guy with a beard. You're right. They got them both.
Two white dudes making music.
Two dudes.
I want to talk.
I don't think the guys from Chromeo white.
Yeah, they white. They white. Oh.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
French dudes are from Montreal.
Then they're I don't know. Anyway, Iron Sky by Palalo Nutini. That's not how you say it, but it's close. Iron Sky has definitely been said right, and Daniel Wolf, the director, has been said right. This is a fantastic video. Super good. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of tough to come into the video through like a agree disagree kind of thing, because we should mention this is like a major kind of documentary style slash epic video. I mean, this is an almost 9-minute video that a lot of people are, you know, really reacting to. It's tough to describe because it starts out. What are they smoking? Help me out, guys.
I don't know that we need to find out what they're smoking exactly.
Ryan, you said crack, though, right?
I think it's crack, but they refer to it as Aurora at the beginning.
I mean, they're definitely using crack pipes.
Yeah.
I'll go with crack. I think that makes sense. But anyway, it starts out in a very documentary style with these guys and other people who are kind of describing the feelings of being addicted to a drug, and I, you know, it's kind of tough to describe this video because it goes through so many just kind of jarring images. I mean, one of the first images as the song starts is somebody jumping at, you know, just like kind of leaping off a window, and not really jumping, but just kind of letting themselves fall off, and it just kind of gets crazier from there. This is one of those sort of ultra realistic kind of documentary style videos that are really effective when done right, and Daniel Wolf kind of, I think he hit it out of the park with this one. This is a great video.
I guess I kind of interpreted it a little bit differently, Adam. I, for whatever reason, maybe I was just totally crazy, but I thought this, I got a bit of like a post-apocalyptic feel from this, and it was had a little bit of a sci-fi feel to it, and I thought maybe these headaches had come about that people were suffering from, and they had to like smoke this drug because it was the only form of release from the pain. But maybe it is just crack addicts. I don't know.
I definitely took it as an addiction thing, too. I did not read it in the way that you did, Adam. That's super interesting that you did. It's
weird.
It's,
maybe.
No. I mean, whatever. I mean, I don't think it was. It's still the video was still effective. Obviously, you still had a reaction to it. So
yeah.
If you necessarily didn't, you know.
I guess it was
come to the same narrative conclusion that everybody else did.
I guess it's that they refer to it as Aurora, and I was thinking sci-fi right away because we don't have a drug that anyone refers to as Aurora. And then just the way that it was shot, I felt it had kind of a sci-fi cult feel to it. Maybe, yeah.
And it's got these moments that kind of remind me of what's that movie with Jared Leto? Requiem for a Dream, right? When when they show like the cells expanding and stuff like that, and that kind of thing, that reminds me a little bit of Requiem for a Dream. When people would get high in that movie, and those are really like interesting moments in there that like those being present like make me. Because at first, like, the footage is so realistic. I don't know if this is, like, partially found footage and partially stuff that they shot or how it all fits into place. Because some of it seems really, really real. And then other parts of it, like, I can't imagine that, like, they actually filmed a guy from two angles committing suicide. So, like, some of that stuff I feel like, you know, was set up. But I can't really, like, distinguish the two.
Yeah, I think there's moments that are definitely set up. The guy on the horse is pretty crazy. The dude falling off just came to that moment.
Where is that timeline wise?
4:45 roughly. But yeah, I agree. Like the guy falling out the building, I think is set up scenarios. But it feels very. I mean, if it is truly like a existing drug epidemic somewhere that's being documented, I would imagine the majority of it's real. Embellished scenes here and there, like the girls in the house and all that, the naked girls. But it could also just be incredibly well done and like Adam mentioned, kind of this dystopian future world, kind of loosely linked to the current.
There are some different vibes in here and some different references, I think. And the overall overarching kind of reference I feel like I got was of Vice. What's that?
No, go ahead. You're talking about like the Vice documentaries?
Vice documentaries, and what they'll do is they'll go to, and I've seen one that kind of reminded me a lot of this.
Is it the World's Scariest Drug One?
World's Scariest Drug One. Well, I can't remember the name of the drug, but they went into,
Colombian Devil's Breath or something. I think I've got it pulled up here. They go in there and like, it's the type of drug that like makes you like, you lose all consciousness, but you don't seem fucked up. Is that the one you're talking about?
That might be another one. This is one, you know, but Vice is kind of an interesting case where they have this style and they'll go into these really kind of fringe communities where, you know, maybe, you know, people are, you know, addicted to drugs or that's, you know, kind of a way of life for them. But there was also this really interesting mix of kind of cinematic things, like, you know, around the 5-minute mark. I don't know if you guys have ever seen, like, the 120 Days of Sodom. Movie from the 70s, where we've got these, you know, guys, you know, these men dressed in suits, kind of looking at these two, you know, teenagers who are nude. That's definitely an image that is, if not ripped, but at least referencing a kind of 128 Days of Sodom style scenario. So, you know, I think this is one of these videos that is meant to be, you know, watched a few times, but, you know, mainly talked about. I mean, there's so much stuff going on here.
So the Guardian, and just to say, I don't know, bloggers are crazy sometimes, but the Guardian did refer to it as a foreboding video depicting a dystopian future. So maybe I'm onto something. Who knows?
We need to
talk to the director. That's what we got to do.
Maybe. But, I mean, gosh, the stuff at the very beginning seems so real. And then it's like such. Yeah, the VHS full frame stuff. And then it takes like. After that stuff, after like this interview stuff, the music hasn't started. It's almost just like a high pitched like humming sound or something, and then it goes into this like it like fantastic looking shot like 138, of like this really wide lens, and it like just counters that stuff of like this grainy VHS footage of like real people talking to something that looks so composed and so set up, and it's like such a counter to that stuff, and they kind of balance it back and forth with these two things throughout, which like really kind of you can't get your head around whether or not what you're looking at is real or set up. Yeah, I think that stuff is super effective. World's Scariest Drug, man, that stuff is weird. Sorry. Go ahead.
I like the monologue coming in around 6 minutes that I think it's Charlie Chaplin's The Dictator or The Great Dictator. What's that film? But he has this great
The
Great Dictator. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's in the track or if that's added just for the video.
It's in the track, actually.
It's in the track, okay.
Yeah.
And the song too, the vocals are like have such like a painful pitch to them. I mean they sound great, but like they have like they just feel like so emotional and like have this like painful sound to them that really like mirrors the vibe of the video so well too. It's just like super crazy, super good video.
We have, you know, like I would call the video a bit of a downer.
And yeah. It is a downer. No, it definitely is a downer. And if it's real stuff, it's like presented without any context, like it is. It's like, you know, it makes it like, what do we get? What are we supposed to do about this?
I'm leaning towards Adam's. Yeah, I didn't really think of that, but I think Adam's theory of the post-apocalyptic thing makes the most sense. I think there's a lot of clues when you watch it.
Though it does bear lots of relevancy to things that are happening. It's a future that could potentially definitely go down.
It's like a District 9.
Villain, right?
Yeah, it is a little. I did get. There's definitely a District 9 vibe to it. District 9 starts in a very similar way.
Fucking prawns.
Fantastic movie. I saw it twice in 1 week, the first weekend. One time I brought Adam.
And I love the way that it's the way the video is presented. It created these different interpretations for us. That's something. That's testament to how cool it is, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It gets two cool shades from the IMDb team.
Two cool shades.
Ryan, would you give it two cool shades out of two?
Yeah, definitely two cool shades. Sweet. Two cool Pomp and Clout shades.
Nice. Pomp and Clout brand shades. Let's take it. Let's go to a different feeling video. After that, let's go to "Yelling in Sleep" by Rich Acoin. Rich Acoin. It's an animated video by Joel McKenzie, and this video kind of like blew me away, and just like the quality of animation. I kept like trying to find the like TV show that they took it from, and as far as I can tell, it's not. They actually just like made this great animation for this music video.
Yeah, I think it's an original for sure. Yeah, it's I do think that the animator Joel McKenzie, I think he has some of his own stuff on a website and stuff. I don't know that he has a series or anything, but I think these characters were created just for this video.
Yeah, like it was so good. I felt like this was just like some Cartoon Network cartoon that I was unaware of, and they just like took clips and put them together from like episodes. But that's not the case, and that's why I liked this video and decided that we should talk about it because I thought the animation was cool.
Yeah,
I like that. I mean, there's a really wide range of, I mean, illustration styles within it too, which I like. You know, you got the kind of canvas background or kind of burlap texture to it, and then you got the incredibly, you know, smooth figures, then the kind of lo-fi 8-bit stuff coming in. It's interesting to see all that together.
Yeah, and at certain points the interface switches to like an old side scroller game interface. So with his, you know, like lives at the top and then the hearts, you know, and his points, I thought that was pretty sweet. Because the entire video kind of revolves around this lumberjack, who's pretty good at being a lumberjack because he can just pick up trees apparently, which is, you know, Adam.
And he's teamed up with Mother Nature in this video at the beginning. They're growing trees together.
He's got her on his side. Everything looks like it's going pretty well. And Adam, you have lumberjacks in Canada, so you know all about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know any personally, but I have been there. Are some somewhere?
You know a guy.
No.
I'm wondering if this video has some sort of Canadian connection, because the director's name is Joel McKenzie, and at one point it's a lumberjack with two beavers pulling a sled.
The maple syrup.
Yeah, for sure. And Rich is Canadian as well, so yeah, it goes without saying.
Ryan, where's the maple syrup?
It's somewhere toward the beginning. He pours maple syrup from a tree onto pancakes.
Pancakes.
Yeah,
the tree pukes
it out.
He pulls his nose. Yeah, the pancake part is my favorite part. He like makes these pancakes and throws them to everyone in the forest. And like, there's anyone? There's a Ninja Turtle. And it's also weird that Mother Nature has four boobs.
Oh, it was just gonna say that. Yeah,
that's our four boobs.
Mother Nature has four boobs, not how I envisioned her, but makes sense.
Yeah, so Joel McKenzie is definitely Canadian as well, so I don't think it's any coincidence that we see all the Canadian elements kind of tied into it.
And right after that four boob shot is a picture of the lumberjack, and it's like the most crudely drawn picture in the entire thing. It looks like it's colored in with children's markers. This just had so much.
There's some serious naked fighting. I mean, this video goes.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess what's happening is sort of like once the 8-bit stuff comes in, that sort of represents, because also some skyscrapers start emerging in the forest.
Yeah.
So then he kind of has to stop that from happening. So he has to battle a giant 8-bit monster of some kind. And that's where the Street Fighter style combat scenes come in. It kind of had a Scott Pilgrim feel to it as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
And it made me, because Scott Pilgrim is also a Canadian series, so I actually wondered if maybe Joel McKenzie was the guy that did the Scott Pilgrim comics, but he wasn't. Similarity.
Same soul. A little similar soul.
Similar soul.
That was fun. That was fun when we were talking about that video. International by Chasing Status.
You picked too many video. That's just
Cutting Ranks. This is the last one.
No, we didn't talk about Ed Sheeran. Don't. Either.
Yeah, but we shared that a lot on social media, and we wrote a blog post about it, and tweeted it twice. So, Don't got some good coverage on our website this week. But Chasing Status featuring Cutty Ranks. We can fold this into our favorites of the week, because this is my favorite that we haven't talked about yet. So I'll just say it.
Yeah, go for it.
Does that make you feel more comfortable?
Yeah, I am comfortable now, yeah.
Okay, good. I don't want to make you discomfortable. Your face is already uncomfortable because you have your microphone. You have your microphone taped to it. But so Chasing Status featuring Cutty Ranks. This is a music video that is on our hashtag black and white list. One of the 150 music videos that are on our black and white page. What I really liked about this video is just like the pacing of it. The song has this like really interesting kind of flow where it's like a little bit harder, and it's like reggae inspired, and it hits hard at moments, and then it kind of like really kind of slows down and gets kind of like more relaxing almost, and the video reflects that really well with some really interesting kind of just like cuts to stuff that go along with the beat, but like I don't know, it was just like really interesting, a really interesting balance of images, although it's still just kind of like these setups in a white or black space, you know, black and white video, and they're still able to kind of make the images seem, you know, to reflect the music really well, you know, despite the limited environment. So I love this video a lot. It was super fun.
There's the two dancers around 110 coming in, I think, and they do these jump cuts between them where it's like same shot of them, same rough framing, but they jump from one shot where the background's black, the dancers are somewhat brighter, like whitish, and then they flip it to the inverse where the background is brightly lit and the dancers are more silhouetted, but because of like that almost inversion of like the color palette, it seems like it almost makes your eye almost gloss over the fact that you're seeing a cut there, if that makes sense, because there's like just these like quick inversion of contrast all of a sudden, and it's a kind of interesting effect on the mind. And they do that a bit there, which is cool.
Yeah, I agree.
There's also just some really bizarre stuff in this, and they do a lot of, like Ryan, like you were saying, a lot of interesting play with the dark and light. Like at around 2:53, you see somebody reading a newspaper, but the newspaper is inverted, so you know the entire thing is black and the text is white.
Oh, good catch! That's nice.
And there's the table is white and the tea set is black, which isn't an inversion, but it's just kind of playing with those things. So you know. Like Doug said, we have a tag for black and white, and there's a lot of black and white music videos, but this one definitely was, like, playing with that format and had a lot of interesting things to kind of use that format for.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm wondering where the costume design is inspired as well, because there are some really elaborate and bizarre costumes in this.
Yeah, it seems like... Because, like, you mentioned, like, the tea set and stuff, and that obviously goes... goes when the, you know, is seen when the song is a lot more delicate, and then when the song is a lot heavier, it's like a dude with like metal spikes coming out of like everything he's wearing all over his face and stuff. It's just like this really interesting contrast in stuff, not just in, you know, obviously with the black and white. And then Jason Status just looks super cool, as does Cuddy Ranks. Cuddy Ranks is old school. I was surprised to see Cut. I'd never heard of him before, but he's an old school dude. I looked him up, and he's old school. Hype Williams did a video for him in 1992 that we had in the database. He's been around. Yeah, he's been around.
Was that before or after Bitches with Problems?
Well, obviously, would be after, right? Because isn't Bitches with Problems Hype Williams' first video?
That's right. And if people don't know what Bitches with Problems is, that is Hype Williams' first. Awful video. It's hilarious. I highly recommend going and watching it. It is, what is the act name again? It's, Bitches with, the artist name is Bitches with Problems. The song name is We Want Money or something. It's some ridiculous
thing. I think that's what it is. I mean, anyway. Money solves your problems, so.
Yeah.
There you go. So that is my favorite video of the week. What is everybody else's? Say it at once. 1, 2, 3.
Iron Sky.
Ryan was the only one who followed the directions. Iron Sky is Ryan's favorite video of the week. What about the Adams?
So my Adam favorite Alexander? Right now, being a huge cartoon fanatic, I really love that Rich O'Coin one. But I do want to take a second to mention this video that dropped last week that I only found today, and it was just added to the database today. But it's this super cool Dimitri Basil video for Wonder Wonder's Hail the Madmen. And Dimitri does these cool... He has about 4 videos now, and they all have this similarity that they're all shot kind of like a 60s film, like a Hitchcockian vibe to them. And basically the setup for this video is there's a bunch of people on a beach, and you think you're going to watch like a 60s beachy type deal. But then it turns out that some shit's going down and like some purple explosions are coming. We never really quite find out what they are, but we do know that they send people flying through the air and cars as well. And it's actually hilarious. It's and really well done. It's a super cool video. You should check that one out for sure.
Sweet.
Fantastic video. It's one of those videos where... It came out last month, and you're like, "Oh fuck!" And then I reluctantly have to add it to the best of the month list, even though it's already been published because it was that good. Adam Alexander, finding the gems. Fairholme.
So, mine is, and it's not just because we have Ryan on the podcast, but I have two, I guess. I love the sort of like documentary that like feel. That's why, you know, last year. My pick for best music video of the year was that A.G. Rojas Portugal the Man Modern Jesus video. I love that style.
Our pick,
yeah. but I think I originally brought it up because I love that. I think that's such an interesting style that really can only be approached in that way in music videos. I don't think you can do that in just a regular documentary. To kind of bring that quality to it. So I loved the Left Hand Free video, and I also loved, which also has kind of the same qualities to it, the Paolo Nutrini Nutini Iron Sky video. So I'm Ryan, I'm with you on that one. It's a fantastic video. And I think that's one that's going to be kind of dissected for the next God knows how long. But I purposely did not read the YouTube comments on that one, but one day when, you know, a few glasses in, I'm going to go check it out and see what I can find.
I also really like the, we didn't speak about it directly, but the Ed Sheeran video I liked a lot.
That was great, yeah.
It is really good. I like that a lot too. It's super, it's like one of those videos, the dancing is so good, and then like you're like, wait, is this guy stealing from people? And you're like, well, he's super cool anyway.
You can do whatever you want, really.
No, you can. He was a smooth, and I you should have seen me, like, when I was writing the article about that video, like trying to find the name of some of the dances he was doing and all the different things I was Googling that made me seem like an idiot.
All the dance moves?
Yeah, I was just like, twisty arm, cool dance move. and it didn't come up. It was all that move where you know how you like stand in a line and you make a wave? That's the only thing I could find that came up. I couldn't find any of the moves he was actually doing. So I suck at Google and dance.
At first, it reminded me of like the opening movie. Did the kind of getting up off that mattress reminded me of that Far Side video Spike Jonze did way back when?
Yeah,
the drop.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Is that like reversal dancing stuff?
Right.
I always assume that anytime I see somebody doing anything with their arms, I assume they're the dancer from the Ariana Grande Problem video. So I'm just gonna go with that.
It is him.
I'm glad he's getting so much work because he's really popping up anywhere, everywhere.
And Adam, your mic is severely breaking down now, so which is timed perfectly because that's it. That's all we've got for the week.
So if you want to hear, if you want to watch any of the videos we've talked about on this podcast, go to the show notes. Go to imvdb.com/podcast. There you'll find tons of episodes, 118 to be exact, of the IMVDB podcast. You'll also find links to Ryan's IMVDB page, as well as other links, Twitter, his site as well. And yeah, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been great. I'm very appreciative of you guys having me on, and always good to chat about videos with anyone. So thanks.
Nice. And I guess we'll see you guys next week.